So, how much water should you drink per day? Some have said that about 8 glasses a day is what you should aim for, and this advice appears to have come from a 1945 recommendation of the Food and Nutrition Board of the United States National Research Council, which stated, a suitable allowance of water for adults is 2.5 litres daily in most instances. Most of this quantity is in prepared foods. However, according to the CSIRO, there's really no hard and fast rule about how much water you need to drink. How much water each one of us needs depends on a range of factors, such as our sex, body weight, how much physical activity we do. Another thing to consider is where you live. Those who live in warmer and more humid climates tend to sweat more and thereby lose more fluid. On a hot day, we can lose anywhere from 100 millilitres to several litres per day, depending on our activity levels and the temperature. Apparently, it's quite easy to lose between 1-3% of our total body fluid. And when that happens, it causes mild dehydration and we can get impaired mood, low concentration levels, increased headaches, and so on. Those who work or exercise in hot climates lose the most fluid, up to 2.5 litres of sweat in an hour in extreme circumstances. And those fluids need to be replaced pretty quickly, otherwise it's going to fairly rapidly have an effect on your subsequent performance, not to mention your overall health if that situation continues. And so, as we all know, water is important for life. And if we forget to drink appropriate amounts of water or other appropriate fluids of some kind, probably not beer, we suffer physically. Fortunately, we have an inbuilt gauge to let us know when we need to drink. It's called thirst. And having the sensation of being thirsty is God's way of telling us that we lack in that department. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about water and being thirsty. And while our reading from John's account of the Gospel this morning consists of only 3 verses, it packs a very powerful theological and spiritual punch. John writes, on the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You can find that in John chapter 7, verses 37-39. Now the event that provided the context for these words of Jesus was a celebration known as the Festival of the Tabernacles, when the religious leaders of Jerusalem would gather the people together for a cleansing ritual of the temple. And although not mentioned often in the New Testament, the Festival of Tabernacles was one of the big 3 annual festivals, along with Passover and Pentecost, for which adult Jewish males were expected to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It was generally the most joyous and popular of the 3 celebrations. Originally a harvest festival celebration, and by the time of Jesus it had also taken on the significance of remembering God's provision for the people of Israel during their wilderness wanderings, following their flight from hard bondage in Egypt. During that ancient and extraordinary journey under the leadership of Moses, God had provided water for the people of Israel out of solid rock, as noted in Numbers chapter 20. Celebrated since before the time of David, the psalmist also wrote of God's marvelous deliverance, where he writes, in the sight of their ancestors he worked marvels. In the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan, he divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all night long with a fiery light. He split rocks open in the wilderness and gave them drink, abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock, and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. That's Psalm 78, verses 12-17. To bring due remembrance of both God's gift and our human failures, the festival traditionally lasted for 7 days. And each year during the final observance, water was carried from the Pool of Siloam into the temple. Carried in pompous circumstance with a golden pitcher, the blessed water, set apart by the priests, would be poured upon the altar in the temple. This national cleansing of the altar consequently symbolized the Hebrews' preparation for the day when the Messianic kingdom would arrive in all its glory. However, the dedication gathering for that year in Jerusalem was a bit different. Jesus was in attendance. In that year, during the final purification of the temple altar within the ritual and traditionally occurred during the last and greatest day of the celebration, Jesus stood up to speak. He spoke out loudly from the midst of those gathered there. And rather than just sitting quietly in his place among the high and learned rabbinical teachers, he broke in abruptly, breaking away from their customary symbolic piety. Though a lowly, itinerant country rabbi, Jesus stood boldly. He spoke so that all those who were present could hear. Standing in this way, in startling manner during the ceremony, Jesus consequently changed forever the nature of the water upon the altar. He spoke prophetically that the water was soon to become more than a symbol. The water would be changed into a living river, inviting those receiving that water to participate in God's authentic reality. The water at the altar would become living water, and by living, Jesus meant an active current or a gushing of water that keeps on renewing. It would be a reality which was to be poured out upon all of God's servants. Of course, these verses from John also bring to mind Jesus' earlier comment about living water when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. He said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." That's from John 4. And after she responded, he went on to say, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Now, earlier on in this year during Lent, our home group reflected its way, well, as much as it could, through a book by Bishop Stephen Cottrell, who's the Archbishop of Canterbury, which was titled "I Thirst, the Cross, the Great Triumph of Love," focusing on Jesus' words from the cross, which, when he said, after this, when Jesus knew that now that all was finished, he said, "I am thirsty." Now, I guess it's not hard to understand what made Jesus thirsty as he hung from the cross on that faithful day. Jesus is dying. He's in absolute agony, and he longs for a drink to ease his pain. It's a grisly scene made even more humiliating by the offer of sour wine. But all of us are thirsty in some way, and not just physically, for actual water as in, you know, H2O. We can be thirsty for any number of things and for any number of reasons. So I guess the question is, what is it that makes you thirst? Perhaps it's the need to be considered important to at least someone. The desire to be loved and be of concern to someone. The longing to be an important part of this world, not just a random nobody. The hope that we will have contributed something to this world that will last. You know, the desire to have really lived and not just existed. Or even just that innate, instinctive, built-in nature of our being to live and to continue to live. If these are our thirsts, how is this Jesus who lived a couple of thousand years ago able today to meet those thirsts? The world today says that he's irrelevant for this time and age. And do we act that way in our own lives? You see, Jesus can either truly satisfy our thirsts or his claim is bogus. So which is it? Some of us, to be true, have been ignored for most of our lives. We're considered as useful, but perhaps not that unique. We can easily be replaced by almost anyone else. We may sometimes go to extraordinary measures to be noticed. You know, the clothes we wear, our hairstyles, tattoos, piercings, and so on. But then along comes Jesus, whose words and actions tell us that regardless of who we are, he cares for us and died for us. All of us are important. In fact, he says that even the hairs of your head are numbered. And for some, I admit, that's probably easier to calculate than for others. Some of us were never loved as we should have been. We may even try all kinds of abnormal behaviours to get the attention and the love that we crave. Jesus, however, loves you, every one of you, regardless of what you have done or didn't do or should have done. His love is not dependent on you in any way at all. In fact, we're told that while we were sinners and continued to do some terrible things to others and ourselves, he still loves us completely. Being thirsty for something is a kind of metaphor for feeling unfulfilled or empty. And sometimes we can explain it, as in the illustrations I've just given. Sometimes, however, it's not so easy to explain. Whichever it is for you, it's this emptiness that Jesus seeks to fill with the water that he offers. And not just ordinary water, not still water that goes stale, but living water. Water that gushes and flows in you and through you. Water that gives life and meaning to one's existence. You know, there are many in today's society that will offer to quench your thirst. Some will invite you to drink deeply from the well of financial security. You know, invest in high-yielding stocks and set yourself up for life and your deepest thirst will be satisfied, they promise. But that well is poisoned. Many have drunk deeply of the spirit that flows there and have come away crippled by anxiety and greed and with their relationships reduced to marketing opportunities. Some will invite you to drink deeply from the well of social success. You know, get the right job, be seen in the right places, wearing the right clothes and driving the right car. Be beautiful and get noticed. Climb the social ladder and your deepest thirst will be satisfied, they promise. But that well is polluted as well. Many have drunk deeply of the spirit that flows there and have come away poisoned by superficiality and competitiveness and by the fear that it can never last. Jesus, on the other hand, invites all who are thirsty to come and drink from the living water, that is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who will guide those who believe in him into faith and all truth and, of course, abundant life. What is it you thirst for? Do you thirst for authentic meaning and purpose for your life? Do you thirst for acceptance and inclusion? Do you thirst for a more intimate relationship with God and thirst for God's word? These are the things that we should be thirsting after. Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus has poured out his Holy Spirit. Come and drink. Let the Spirit of God well up in you, and then let it flow out of you into the world. Today we celebrate the festival of Pentecost. It's called Pentecost because the spectacular outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the first disciples of Jesus happened on this Jewish festival of Pentecost, as we heard in our reading from the book of Acts today. Because of the Holy Spirit, we have hope and the joy of salvation. We can face the problems we have in life with the confidence that he is with us, that he lives in us, and that he will guide us to the source of living water at the end of time. Stay thirsty. To him be all glory, honor, majesty, and power. Amen.